Hey everyone, welcome to our very first edition of the InfoBip CX Breakroom. I'm your host, Kim Johal, and today we're going to be looking through how CX transformation works within your business and how AI is going to overlay that overall. Joining me today, we've got two familiar faces from within our leadership team. We've got Krisha Zemak, who's our Chief Innovation Officer, and he's leading the charge on AI and the future of customer engagement. Hi, Krisha.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for having me on the show. Super, really nice to be here and looking forward to talk about the conversational AI.
And alongside him, we have our VP of Marketing, Ben Lewis, who firsthand sees how brands are rethinking customer engagement in an AI-first world. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Kim. How are you doing? Thanks so much for having me. And I'm really looking forward to the discussion as well.
Perfect. And without further ado, let's deep dive into the topic. Let's start with a topic that's impossible to ignore right now, AI. If we rewind back a decade or two, how do businesses typically communicate with their customers? And how does that compare to what you're seeing today? I mean, if you look back in the 90s to the early 2000s, the boom of the internet was the start of where digital communication started. So what's your take on how that's now evolved and changed?
So we can do even a step back, even going earlier. The businesses started communicating with end users through shops, through offices, and people used to go to those offices, to bank branches, visiting shops, and so on. With the arrival of internet, things shifted. People started visiting websites. People started receiving advertisement on those websites or on Google search. They started using search. Then the next step of the evolution was the introduction of the phones, more especially the smartphones and app stores and mobile apps. So people started engaging with brands via mobile apps. And then what happened is some of those apps grew and become the key way of communication between friends, family, but also coworkers and businesses. Some of those apps are WhatsApp, Viber, Apple iMessages, and similar. So brands quickly realized they can communicate with their end users through those apps. And brands realized that they can talk, exchange, communicate, conversate with their end users through multiple channels, not just one. Because the end user is the one who is choosing the right and the most appropriate channel. And it likes to receive different messages and different information through different channels. So the OTPs are mostly read through SMSs, and people trust an OTP received through an SMS. However, for conversational purposes, if you want to chat or if you want to talk, you're using either voice, either a chat app. What's happening today with the introduction of AI, there are new interfaces coming up. We are all familiar with ChatGPT, Gemini, and other tools where people started searching and communicating with the brands within those chat apps. So that's important because the brands need to align and brands need to be on the channel of choice of the end users. And even more importantly, they need to personalize for that specific channel.
You make a really good point there. When we look back in time, there was the high street and then the internet came and we moved to a digital world. And we saw a slight demise of the high street at that point, where basically shops closed because they weren't digital ready. How do you see this changing now with AI? What happens if a brand doesn't actually make the same changes?
One thing with AI and generative AI especially is the pace and the speed how it's evolving. So before, in the past, in the history, you had time to adapt to the new channels. AI is moving at unprecedented speed and brands will need to adapt significantly faster than they used to. So that's one critical change, and the hyper-personalization which AI, generative AI brings has never been seen before. So I would say that the urgency to explore new channels, to adapt to the new channels and be on the channels that the audience will consume, it's critical today. There is not so much time as it used to be when the internet came and when the mobile apps came. So things are moving super, super fast.
Maybe I'll just add here. I mean, there's also the component, I mean, when shops and retailers closed, the storefront became marketing and marketing led on website. So even that sort of shift in the balance between the two things and how they work together, the storefront was marketing and pushing through website. And now even with sort of AI and integrated, you know, the point that Krisha made earlier, this is now becoming super personal because AI can actually, if you create sort of the agent as you need, the message that you would see might be different to the message that I see, or the content that you see is different to what I see. So actually you can really be, I mean, this environment of personalization with AI, this is where these two things, these worlds collide, and brands need to step up their game with the way how they communicate, as well as actually what they put out to market as well. You know, it's the evolution of building websites, being able to communicate, and actually being able to communicate with things which are relevant.
No, 100%, totally agree. No, I really appreciate that. Thanks for adding that, Ben. And then what do you feel has created the acceleration in digital and AI-powered communications over the last few years? What's pushing and driving this in terms of the urgency?
As mentioned before, the urgency comes from the new technology which is available. And again, it comes to hyper-personalization and being on the right channel at the right time. Choosing the right strategy, again, the end consumer, it's the user, it's the one making the decision. And the brands need to be on the channel that the end users are. And depending on the demographics, you know, it's TikTok is very popular, Snapchat is very popular, Instagram is very popular, WhatsApp and others. So Facebook might be less important. My kids think it's for me, not for them. So adaptation, and those channels grew in the last couple of years. They were not present 20 years ago when we started. They started 6 or 7 years ago, or now it's almost 10, but there is a huge acceleration and adoption of those channels. And you can see it by the number of users now using ChatGPT. So they reached out 100 million faster than anybody in the history, meaning that the technology and the globalization, basically the availability of different tools, is driving the adoption of those and pushing the end users on these new channels with unprecedented speed. And that brings the need that brands need to react with exactly the same pace, significantly faster than before.
I totally agree with that. I mean, there are three areas I would say like are pushing the acceleration for this. You got one being sort of the custom behavior has changed. You know, the way how we consume information, the way how we act on information has changed. You know, and that's sort of one component. Second one is things have tightened. The economic perspective of things have tightened. Companies are being asked to do more with smaller amounts or smaller budgets, smaller investments. So they need to sort of show that from their standpoint, the acceleration, but the urgency is there because they need to do more with less. And then you move into the technology world where you've got this new cool thing which is being explored. And if you're following the things of TikTok and different articles which are being published about sort of what you can do with different AI agents, it's changing literally every single day. You know, OpenClaw has rebranded sort of 3 or 4 times or something over the last couple of weeks just because of different things, but it's just boomed. You know, people are buying Apple Minis because they're sort of exploring. And so the exploration behind all these things is just sort of colliding. That's where I think this urgency is coming from.
No, you make really good points, both of you, actually. And the demographic shift is really important in this as well, because if I speak to my children, they've been using AI for years. It's been in Snapchat. It's in WhatsApp now as well. And so they're familiar with it. And they're growing up in a prompt-based world, which is really changing the way search works overall. So it's quite exciting in terms of what's coming. So looking forward to what's next, really.
Just on that, I actually read this really interesting post that one of my old colleagues posted quite recently. He said that his daughter came running in from school and said, I want to be a coder. And he said, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, he would have been over the moon. Like literally, I mean, that was music to his ears. He said, like now, actually, he'd rather her move into sort of English and doing English as a major or actually law. And he sort of made the argument saying that both of those two subjects, you actually learn how to phrase positioning and prompting. And he said, like, if you're doing sort of English, you're understanding how to sort of position stuff. You're doing law, you're actually understanding how to make an argument. And both of those two things, I'm not from a coding background, but I understand that those things would super really help when you're prompting. So it's a really interesting environment, especially as we're progressing sort of with this AI technology.
No, 100%. It is exciting times. I mean, I'd say over the last couple of years, things have moved quite quickly. You know, we've gone from a conversational AI to generative AI and now agentic AI. From your perspective, what's the game changer in the journey and why?
So the generative AI brings completely new capabilities. So we started 6 or 7 years ago almost with our chatbot solution, which is a rule-based automated machine, which is basically using predefined questions and answers and guiding the end user through the conversation. We did infuse. We started with AI already 6 years ago, introducing NLP, intent recognition, and similar functionalities. And however, the experience of those chatbots back then and IVR systems was pretty robotic. It was a software, you could sense it. And people were reluctant to use those things. They would immediately asking this system to switch them to real agent because people do want to chat with or talk with real people. With the introduction of generative AI 3 years ago, but with the explosion in the last 2 years, there are really the experience of having a conversation with an AI agent has dramatically changed. So it's not robotic anymore. It's really can show empathy. It can adapt to a specific person, identify the sentiment during the call, change the conversation. So act and mimic, not even mimic, but act as a human, which might, you know, tone down the situation if there is an escalation. And we see in our own examples, but also globally, a huge adoption of AI agents. Agentic AI goes even a step beyond that. So there was chatbots, then we introduced agents. The AI agents, we can look at them as the brain of the whole solution. They were missing the hand. So the AI agent was great. You train it on specific data, and it can provide you a lot of answers from a specific context. It is available. It has been trained on. What was truly game changer was the introduction of MCPs, Model Context Protocol, which you can look as the hands, which the AI agent can use to retrieve the data in real time. And that really pushed the capabilities of AI agents into really having capabilities to, in real time, execute things that neither chatbots or AI agents were capable of before. For example, you need to book a ticket. You need to retrieve your information about your luggage, where it sits now. So today, the AI agent, by using MCP interfaces or APIs, can pull in real time the data from an existing system and provide you the answer. And that's the true power of these new agentic systems. Another advance in the technological advance was the introduction of multi-agentic systems, where you can have special agents handling different parts of the journey. So you can have a lost luggage agent, you can have an airport agent, which is providing information about the airport, where the stores are and so on. You can have a booking agent. So each of them is heavily specialized in a specific topic. And then you have an orchestrator agent, which is actually understanding the intent, executing the main conversation with the end user, and then assigning tasks to those specialized agents. And that's the current way how the agentic system have been built. This is the way how we built our own AgentOS platform, that you can orchestrate, you can create multiple agents with MCP interfaces and API interfaces, as well an orchestrator agent, which is then orchestrating. Going further, what's the capability that is even more increasing the quality of the experience is the capability of integrating with other external agents. So imagine you have a booking agent which can talk with a hotel concierge agent. So those two agents can basically orchestrate all of your journey, not just the flight, but also the hotel accommodation.
No, that's brilliant. I mean, that was actually leans into my next question, which you've somewhat answered already. So thanks for covering that. But from a customer point of view, what actually changes when you move from like reactive AI to agentic AI? You know, what's the big change that they're going to see?
It's the experience, is the hyper-personalization, which will, and when we talk about hyper-personalization, it's not that the agent gets my name right. That's so 1990s. The hyper-personalization is that the agent understands all of the context, my context, why I'm calling or why I'm chatting with the brand, that it understands that I potentially have some issues or even proactively identifies if there is an issue on my, for example, in a telecom agent case, that there is a problem with my internet and I'm reaching out most probably due to that. That agent is aware that if I'm having a challenge with my invoice or with my, you know, some technical issue with my phone line, that it doesn't send promotional materials and bombards me with promo while I'm complaining. So that's hyper-personalization. So everything related to me personally, my interest, my intent, but also having all the context of the previous conversations and even proactively understanding what might be the reason for me calling or chatting, sending a text message to the brand.
A real example that happened yesterday, I was trying to transfer money on my banking app. I transferred it from one account to another and it didn't go through. So I contacted the agent. It didn't sort of firstly recognize there was an issue, and B, it then handed me off to so I called in. They didn't have a record of my chat. And then they told me on the phone, oh, there's an issue. They're currently having a problem between the banks. They said, but if you're ready, we can set you up with a notification so you can be notified once that's resolved. So anyway, long story short, there was no notification that was set up. I happened to go back into the bank and I saw that the money had gone through. But actually, what should have happened, you know, to all of Crescendo's points, you know, they should have proactively reached out at the point through them knowing there was an issue, saying that we're aware there's an issue of transfers between Bank A and Bank B. Please bear with us and we'll keep you posted. It's really them being proactive versus reactive, I think, is a big shift. It's the handoff between the two capabilities that I went over through a few different channels And not those channels didn't connect to each other, nor did they know who I was when I actually called in. So actually, the data is being kept in silos. So it's from a perspective of, you know, this agentic shift, it's the experience that we expect to have, which is sort of reasonable and resonates with us, you know, at the timely manner. And I didn't have any of those continuity parts yesterday.
Maybe to mention, this experience was not built on our platform, because we are building our platform to avoid these kind of situations.
It was not built on our platform.
No. You can imagine, though, that the problem probably arises that they're lacking multiple agents. And in the agentic world, you've got to have different agent services in different types of situations and scenarios. So if you're not building it correctly, you're not feeding it the right level of information. Garbage in, garbage out is pretty much the phrase that most people use nowadays as well.
Maybe to reflect on what Ben, this is a great example. So this points to the biggest problem in deploying an agentic system, which is the data. The silos data, the unstructured data, the not connected data. Because bringing up an agent to a POC, it's a matter of actually minutes. So there are integrations where you can build agentic experiences in minutes. And the hard part is getting the data right, consolidating the data that enterprises or digital natives have today, and organizing the data that is available to different agents, as you mentioned. So we see this as the biggest challenge today in launching an adoption of agentic systems, the unstructured data that they own at the moment.
And it probably leans into the next question. If we look at it from a marketing perspective, what do you see CX teams, you know, how do they plan and run campaigns moving forward? What's the important areas they should be focusing on?
Yeah, there is a fundamental shift. Just to sort of bridge between the last point and this one, yeah, you also go into the tone of voice as well, and the tone of the brand that's sort of, you know, moving in this agentic world. You have all the points that were mentioned before, but then you also have actually the brand consistency, which also needs to be followed. But fundamentally, you're moving from a marketing standpoint, a campaign execution model, to an intent-driven orchestration. And that's the big sort of shift. The campaign execution is, we've got a campaign calendar for this year. This is what it looks like, A, B, C, D. These are the campaigns we're operating. But actually, when you're sort of making that shift into this intent-driven, agentic AI sort of focus, you're actually going to be much more sophisticated. Krishan mentioned hyper-personalization. It's a component in a lot of this, but making sure the message is relevant, providing that prospect, customer, or whoever with relevant information at the time that they actually expect to have it. So it doesn't really matter, you know, that the sort of campaign matters less, or the calendar matters less, and actually the customer matters more. It's that shift. And if you sort of focus on the latter, which the customer matters more, you center around that, everything that's being sort of coordinated from marketing aspect to that customer is relevant to that customer, the relevancy, the proactive aspects to that customer, and all these things are really, and also on brand and on message. And you can facilitate that all in that shift. That would be my suggestion in this new era.
It is exciting times. And that probably leans into the next question. You know, fast forward 18, 24 months, you know, what do you think the new normal will look like for CX leaders?
What will happen is that we will see more and more agent-to-agent communication, where potentially the agents will not be just augmenting the labor work, but it will be replacing labor, which is a completely new paradigm. And it's not just in our space, it's globally a completely new set of rules, where we are also building for that environment, because in an agent-to-agent world, there might be millions or billions of agents. And what will be important is the trust, is the reputation of both personal and business agents. So being able to identify, is that agent really representing me, or somebody created a fake Kresho agent, or is that really an agent for a bank or for a retailer, or somebody's mimicking? That's going to be very important in the future. So we are building our platform to provide this trust identity for those use cases. So shortly, the world, again, to mention it again, it's moving super, super fast. And we think it will be even more accelerating in the future, with agents augmenting and then eventually starting to replace parts of the work.
just to add on, my son asked me this morning a question about AI. He said like something about like the speed of AI. And I said to him, a good example of this is if you watch the Will Smith spaghetti video. It's from a couple of years ago when someone prompted it to create Will Smith eating spaghetti, whereas now it's like some sophisticated, you know, movie-like video. But, you know, I think that it's moving so fast, so it's very hard to predict. And as Grisha said, like, but I think that the question won't be, you know, are you using agents? It's how well are the agents orchestrated? I think that would be the sort of question which people should be asking themselves.
What will remain and what will be important is the user experience or the customer experience. That will remain because no matter how technology goes fast, the humans at the end are the ones consuming that. Although there might be different agents in this communication, the CX and the UX, the CX will be critical for success. So brands need to tailor the experiences, whatever technology they're using, to fit the needs or the pain points or to solve the pain points that the end consumer has.
Taking your comment, Krisho, on agent to agent, I guess that's the start of Skynet, right? Where AI takes over the world. We see it in the movies and then it comes to reality. So, you know, watching your films is really important to keep up with what trends are coming. So, yeah, I might pick a couple of movies tonight just to see what tomorrow looks like.
There is a great Stanley Kubrick movie on that topic, but it's...
yeah, we can share that in the comments separately. When a business or an organization is looking at agentic AI, you know, how do they look at safety and scaling as considerations?
Yeah, that's important. So everybody starts with the technology first, and the technology is really offering great, great capabilities. Then the first challenge is the data from the perspective of not categorized, not silosed, disconnected, not available data. But there is also a huge component of the privacy and regulation about that data. So not every industry will be confident to expose that data to the LLMs. Not every industry will be, you know, confident to use any LLM or generative AI on top of their data. There are regulations across the world about data protection, about in Europe we have GDPR, elsewhere also in the world we have different. There is HIPAA in the United States protecting the healthcare personal information and so on. So that's something that needs to be baked in as and used as the priority zero when designing agentic solutions. Again, the bot can be super, super smart, or the agent can be super, super smart, but it can then, you know, and it's because it's trained on the huge amount of data, which shouldn't have been trained, and will expose some data that it shouldn't be. So security and general compliance, it shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be the key design element when designing the solution. This is how we are approaching, that we assess all the data points, that there is a clear, you know, approval from compliance and legal teams from the brands, and that we do not jeopardize on any security, on reputation, or anything else related to the privacy. So that's critical in deploying these agents, because one failure, the huge reputational risk cannot be, you know, left aside as an afterthought.
No, that's great. So you're saying basically it's really important to put the guardrails in to basically protect what information you fed in to avoid any sort of mishaps happening along the way.
Of course. Yeah. And there is the component of the hallucination, which is still present, so it didn't go away. With the new systems, with these MCPs, the agents can be much more precise.
But there's got to be a point where you've got to draw the line, right? What would you say you should never automate?
That's debatable, because there is a lot of things that we thought won't be possible to automate and are now automatized. I would, let's say, shift the answer. The automation should be done progressively in phases. So brands shouldn't be automating from the start. It should be small parts of the process. The less risky ones, the less, you know, reputational risky ones should be automated first. Some FAQ questions which are today available on the website can be transferred to conversational experiences. Then open up sequentially some activities, getting the information about the lost luggage, getting information about banking working hours, location of ATMs, and things like that, which are not actually related to some activity. And then finally, you start automating very precise and very the core part of the business. So executing a bank transaction, or, you know, executing a purchase and so on. And this is how we see and how we are working with the brands, that we go in phases. First one is the adoption for FAQ. Second phase is automating the non-core business, which is an extended FAQ, but already providing real data. And then finally, there is the full automation of the whole experience of a bank, of a retailer, or any other, or a travel or a hotel and so on.
Yeah, brilliant. And then I've got a final question, and Ben, I'll point this one at you. There's a lot of questions around what happens to people's jobs, right? AI is an investment which every company is basically making. How do you see the roles in CX and marketing evolving with the use of AI? And what's your thoughts around, you know, the job market with the rise of AI being implemented?
I think that, especially in marketing, marketing was sort of a red as the early adopter with use of AI through Midjourney and image creation and content creation. But you need to be able to have the balance between the prompts that you're writing and the sort of execution that you're delivering. So, and we've even seen it, you know, Krishna just commented about, you know, setting the right guardrails in place and, you know, starting on use cases and start building use cases out. And we see it within our team as well, that we're starting on different use cases, that we're looking to be more efficient. We're looking about how do we sort of support each other, utilizing different agents that we have. And we're hoping that that will make us a more efficient team internally, and also be able to sort of be more efficient externally as well, the way how you sort of utilize AI. So I think it's at the moment, it's still exploring. We want to be able to incorporate AI into our own day-to-day roles. And also, like, when we're looking at sort of job specs, we want to incorporate it. We need to incorporate it. It's a great learning development piece. It's also amazing that we have this sort of skill set that we can bring to other things in the future. And that's how the world is moving to. So I think you always need, you know, human aspect to a certain level at taking over from something. Automation and agents should be operating, should be running, should be supporting and facilitating. But I think you always need that human intervention to be able to sort of oversee and prompt, and sort of from a marketing standpoint, have that sort of credit check to sort of make sure that it's sort of hitting the mark where you need to. Krishna might have another opinion.
No, I have the same opinion. So I think that the only not negotiable thing is that everybody should start using AI, especially people in tech. Because if you are not using, you are going to start lagging behind the rest. So that's clear. And whoever has not started using AI is already behind.
No, that's great. I mean, look, for now, obviously, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But for now, we do know it drives efficiency for us as people. And embracing it is going to help us be more productive overall. And if anything, accelerate deliveries and servicing customers overall. So this is perfect. So let's leave it right there for the first episode. Thank you very much, Krishna. Thank you very much, Ben, for sharing how your views on agentic AI is moving, and something from a buzzword to actually something that changes how we design journeys, how we organize teams, how we show up for our customers each and every day. If you're listening and wondering where to start, the message is pretty simple. Pick an important journey, experiment with agents in a controlled way, and keep humans clearly in the loop. We'll be back each month to unpack another shift shaping CX across EMEA. So if this was useful, feel free to reach out to us, share any questions, share any topics that you'd like to see us tackling next. And thank you.